Welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. We want to thank each one of you for tuning in with us tonight as it is our last show of 2012, and a number of you have texted me back today saying that I have been referencing 2011 all day, and in going back and reading, for whatever reason, I referenced that same thing in my show discussion, in my review and everything. So I don't know what's going on with that, but thank you all for alerting me that I did enter 2011 instead of 2012. So we're going to move forward and just not focus on that. We do know that it's 2012 and it is the last show for this year. We want to remind you, if you have not already, please, please, please remember to register as we near the end of another season of the Butterfly Evolution Show. We want to continue to remind you all to register to be a follower of the show. This is regardless if you are listening online or if you're calling in using your phone. It still is a good, it's a good thing to register for a number of reasons, because we're able to keep you updated through your registering, and it makes it a lot simpler and easier for you to be notified about the show. In addition to that, you can just pull it once you register. It's more easy for you to listen from your smartphones, your iPhones. So if you have internet, you can listen from your phones as well, as most of you do know. In addition to that, most of all, it helps our ratings. So we want to remind you over this long season to take the time to register. Take the time to tell others about the show, as we are excited for the 2013 year coming in and just excited about new things for the Butterfly Evolution Show. In addition to that, if you are listening online with us tonight and you've not registered, remember, you do have to register in order to, and this is another reason, you do have to register in order for us to see that you have a comment or a question, or if you submitted one. So you do have to register for that. If you're listening by phone, remember, you do have to select the number one. If you have a question or a comment, this will alert me that you are requesting to speak during the show. Please know that when we are selecting you, this means that you are coming in live and you're on air for this particular show. So you may provide your first and last name if you so desire, but it is not required. When selecting to bring you into the show, we will identify you by providing your area code and the last four digits or last four numbers of the phone number that you're calling from. So that is the way that we will pull you in tonight. Before moving forward, we do want to remind you to, this is our trash can reminder, particularly going out of 2012, continue to remove your trash cans. For those of you who are new to the show, this is just something we consistently ask our listeners to do, encourage friends to do the same for those that don't listen to the show. But this is something that we consistently ask you all to do, and this helps to promote and welcome, hopefully, change in your life. It also helps you to recognize those unconscious patterns that we so often pick up. Something as small as the location of your trash can certainly becomes an unconscious pattern, and you'll realize and recognize this as you start to notice how often you return to the previous location of your trash can. And without, as you heard us say, without much thought process, you automatically go to the old location. So as you notice this, take the time also to reflect on other things in your life that you return to, other things, other people, or people that you return to without much thought. Remember and notice as you do this, think about unconscious patterns in your life. So let's move on, and I want to talk a little bit about how this topic kind of came about. As I watched television, and ironically, it was on grief. The show that I was watching was on grief, which was our last show, which was last week's topic. It was on grief, not expecting to get anything other than knowledge on grief to share with you all last week. But I heard this young lady as she went about, and this lady was a wife, or is, I should say, is a wife, mother of two, going through some things. She was going through, experiencing grief. She had lost her husband. But she was attempting to describe and explain her recent responses to the occurrences in her life and the people in her life. So she was explaining that feeling, or trying to explain how she was handling the things in her life. And her choice of words became an aha moment for me. And you guys have heard about our aha moments. So basically the aha moments become topics for the show often. So that's kind of, my spirit kind of just awakened as I heard her speak or try to describe how she was feeling or how she was responding to life, so to speak. And her response was, "I have simply checked out of daily life." And I think what she meant by that is, and this is just my thought process to this, is that she was just kind of done. She felt she could not cope with daily life. And in order to not have to address issues and concerns in herself, she just decided to not deal with things. So that was her response, that "I have checked out of daily life." I need to open up the chat line. I'm sorry, I have not did that. Now I'm going to do that now so that we will be able to see who's on and who is commenting. So I am doing that right now for those of you who are listening online as registered followers. The chat line is now open. I do apologize for that. Okay, let's move on. As I was saying, that her comment was, "I have checked out of daily life." So that brings us to tonight and to tonight's topic. The question of the year, I like to say, have you checked out of daily life? And I think if we're all honest, at some point, if we're not there now, at this particular time and day, I think at some point we all have. And as I looked back on my life, I know that I have, and I know that there are days where I feel like I am getting ready to, or I wish I had. At the end of the day, I kind of wish I had. But thank God that I'm able to make it through more so now than ever. To add to that, I'm able to recognize when that sense is coming on. I sense when I need to pray more. I sense when I need to read my word more. So as I become more aware of those times when I feel like checking out of daily life, and want to make sure that you guys know that we're saying just kind of giving up on dealing with life day to day, not giving up life, so to speak. So I'm able to recognize when those days are coming. So that's where this topic came from. And I do want to just briefly share the show details with you tonight, and they've been altered a little bit. But typically for those of you who are registered followers, or if you're on one of the social networks, you will get the raw deal, the raw part of this. You get the full show details. But oftentimes when I'm texting the reminders of the show, I kind of water it down because I don't want to bombard you with this long text. But the show details for this show reads as follows. If you allow people to make more withdrawals in your life than deposits, you will be out of balance and in the negative. Know when to close the accounts. And this is a quote by Christy Williams. And basically, again, it's just saying, don't allow people to take more from you than they are depositing. And with balance, of course. There are going to be some days where I'm able to give more to you when you need it, and vice versa. But for those people who consistently and constantly seem to be withdrawing, you know, they constantly want to borrow money, if that's a good way to look at it. They're constantly borrowing money, never paying it back. They are borrowing your time, your emotions, with no real decision to change or to make an effort to change or move forward from that particular state. So that's kind of what that is saying to me. And again, that's a quote by Christy Williams. I also find this true to be true to daily living. When you allow life to make more withdrawals than deposits, so this is life. When you allow life to make more withdrawals than deposits, life will appear to be out of balance and in the negative. We are, or you are responsible for making deposits in your life and equally responsible for who you allow or what part of life you allow to make withdrawals out of your life. And so think about this as your bank account. No one should be able to go and just withdraw money from your account. No one should have, I shouldn't say no one, but not everyone should have access to your account. There's only one person that knows my ATM, my debit number, I guess is that's what you would call it. There's only one person that knows that. And so I shouldn't go around just allowing people to be able to go into the bank and make withdrawals from my bank account. This is how we should also look at life. So for some of us taking that into account, we probably need to open up a new account and name it life. And again, we're still on the show details. Again, you should be the only authorized user of this account. Now, if you want to dictate someone that, you know, can kind of fall in for you when needed, fine, but not everybody should have that access. And as we have previously informed you on other shows, that, you know, everybody needs to have that one person, and maybe this could be the same person that you designate, but think about this as people that are adding to and taking away from your life. Everybody should have at least one person that they can go to, particularly when you're feeling like you want to check out of daily life or that you have. Everybody should have at least one person in their life that he or she can go to and hear it straight from the hip, that you can get that good advice. You hear what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. And this is very, very important because society, even the people in our circle, often will tell us what we want to hear. We're so accustomed to living in a lie and living away from the truth because we don't want to hurt people. We don't want to work, you know, to overcome things. So you have to be sure that you have someone in your life that is going to help you stay checked in and not give you an out for checking out. So remember we said, I think on the previous show, we said winners always deal with the truth. And I think a lot of times we are so ready to check out because we know that in life we're not dealing with the truth, even our truth sometimes. So let's visit this topic a bit more. And what we're going to do, Tiki is on with us tonight, what we're going to do, I'm going to get through my portion, and then Tiki's going to come on and give it from her perspective and talk more about, we might have some of the same things. We talked a little bit earlier, and so we think we have a little bit of the same information, but that's how we're going to do tonight. So bear with us, and we're going to try to just hold you for a little while tonight, not keeping you as long as we have been in the past. So let's look a little bit more at the topic and find out perhaps what does checked out of daily life mean. And it may be different for you, but just kind of go with me here. In my opinion, it simply means giving up on life. I can't do this. Accepting life as you know it, this is as good as it gets. I can't change my life. It's basically a lack of faith, thinking that there's not enough out there for you. And we did a show, If I Can't Have It, Neither Can You, I think was the title of that. But on that show, if you remember, we talked about the McDonald's and KFC and Popeyes, and I think we even mentioned Walgreens and how there are so many of these stores or restaurants, and they seem to be on every corner, yet they remain profitable, and they continue to bring more. And in most cases, you'll see a McDonald's in just across the street, a Burger King, or you'll see a Popeyes in just across the street, the churches. So basically what that is saying to me, there is enough of it. for everyone. And we get so lost sometimes. We look at other people. We look at what's going on. We look at things, and we lose our faith. We lose our trust. We lose passion for our purpose. So it's not that it's not enough. It's just, are you willing to work at those things so you don't become so discouraged and want to check out of daily life and settle? Or even sometimes we don't know what it is for us, which causes us to settle for anything, go any direction. And again, maybe check out of life, because we, in this, we can tend to get weary, feel like we're lost. And this is when we're just kind of existing. We're dancing to someone else's music and their drum beat. Maybe in the case for this example, you know, maybe you've opened up, think of it this way, you've opened up a KFC when really hamburgers are your things. Maybe you needed to open up a McDonald's. And see, doing things out of order, out of our purpose, out of our passion, it may bring some peace for a short time, but for some of us, when we truly have a desire and a burning passion from within, that is whatever we're doing or allowing, and when we've checked out, it's only going to be okay for a little while, whatever a little while is to you. But every so often, that burning, that passion, that desire is going to resurface. And when it does, those are times where you may start to feel weary, disappointed, maybe discontent, and hopeless. And when all these things happen or you have these feelings going on, you know, this allows, I guess, that spirit of wanting to check out and give up, check out of daily life. So, again, what we're saying here is when you check out, you're basically saying to yourself, I'm afraid. My passion and my purpose, the things that God has given us, kind of those things that we want to do and find such joy in doing. And we'll sometimes basically, if we had the means and the opportunity, we would do it for free. We'd still get up and go do these things and want to do these things and find joy in them. So we're saying when we check out is we don't have faith. I can't do it. I'm not worthy. And again, this is as good as it gets. Okay? And I heard recently, I want to share this with you, and this was just amazing to me, as a number of things are becoming to be. But there's this lady, and you guys may have heard about this, but she recently made millions of dollars because she simply got tired of seeing her toilet seat look the same every day. So what did she do? She started searching, she said. She started going on the internet, and she came up with toilet seat tattoos. And I'm sitting here looking at this. I have a bathroom fetish, and I have so many times, I'm so sick of this white toilet seat. But she has this, she invented something that is a toilet seat tattoo, which means you can just cover, it's just a thing that you put over your seat, and it totally changes the look of your toilet without you having to buy a new one. So much so you can go on and put a picture for Cowboy fans that we just won last night. I got to say that, but I know I'll probably lose some listeners right then. But, you know, you can go put a cowboy tattoo on your toilet. You can put a picture of your child and in their bathroom. So all these things. And I say this to say, you know, there is something inside of all of us. Are you willing to birth it? And when we don't birth it, when you know that it's there, but you don't have the faith, you're not committed to just birthing it, to really sitting down, finding out who you are, searching and having faith in that thing, then you will become weary at some point in time. Then you'll get back okay and just exist again. So that, I hope, just motivates somebody. If somebody can be rich off of toilet seat tattoos and they can come up with that and put that into existence, put it to work to where they are making millions, how much more can we do? How much more? So understand, it's not that we don't have knowledge needed to not want to consistently check out of daily life and stay out. It's not that we don't have the knowledge and what we need. I think it's more that knowledge is basically, what is knowledge? Basically, it is potential success. if there's no action behind it. So we can have all of this stuff in us, but if there's no action put to it, even, you know, with what we learn, then it's just potential success. This lady could have sat, as probably we all have, and just looked at her, kept saying to herself, I hate the way this looks, as I have. But she took that and she, what can I do about it? So there are things in your life, in our life, that we allow to just continue. We allow to burn. We continue to pour gasoline on to the point where it gets us to where we're feeling, like I mentioned, disappointed. We're just discontent. Hopelessness set in. We grow weary. And that is enough to make us want to check out of daily life. And there's so much going on in the world that we don't have to create other stuff to make us want to check out of daily life. So that is what we are talking about tonight. So the lines, I'm going to check. The lines are open for those of you who are listening by phone. I'm going to check the chat line real quick. And that is open as well. So if at any time you all have any questions or any comments, just please jump in. Bear with us here as we continue to work through the show and just pull you in. But to continue on, I believe that many of us have just kind of become mentally homeless in our existence, in our life, and we're just no longer able to identify with who we are, with our personal existence, a personal being, those things, again, passion, desires, the things that are just buried within us, and that will allow you to grow weary, okay? And it you begin to tuggle with where you are in life. You begin to, again, become just discontent with where you are and where you should be. I think for the most part, somewhere inside of us, there's this small little space of our inner being and our existence of who we should be. And maybe that's where that knowledge lies and waiting for that action so that we don't become weary and want to continually check out of life. Because I think for the most part, we know that we want more. We all know that we deserve more. I hope that is the truth for all of us, but that we all want more, and we all know that we deserve more than what we settle for, that we deserve more than what we are willing to work for. And I hope that we say often to ourselves, well, yeah, I hope that you do say, if you feel like you're settling, I hope that you often do tell yourself, this can't be it. Because sometimes where we are, it's not it. It's just where you have allowed life to take you and stay there, and you've allowed to stay there. You've allowed more withdrawals from your life by people and life than you have deposited. You keep people in your life that withdraw from your life more than you keep the people in your life that continually encourage you to grow, continually deposit things in your life, encouraging words, empowering words, the truth. So, again, the lines are open. What I think that we do at this point when we start to look, when we get discouraged and we start to feel hopeless and we realize that we've checked out, then we start to, I think, focus on our circumstances, whether it be our age. We look at, I'm too old to change or to start over. It is never too late for a do-over. Never. Never. You should want to change anything that you don't want to die today and leave undone. So if there's anything that's unsettling in your spirit, there are sometimes I get in my truck, and I'm not the best keeper of my truck. Now, my house is a different story, but there's sometimes I get in my truck, and I'm like, Lord, have mercy. If I left this world today, they'd think I have a tornado came through here. And if you look at life that way, whatever that feels unsettling to you, whatever, if you left this world today, if it's unsettling your spirit, and I'm talking to myself really deep on this one, there's some things and people that I just need to settle some things with that will make me want to check out daily life, has made me just want to go away. I mean, really, I've told my closest friends, look for me on the milk carton. But see, I allow it. I have allowed that. I have allowed the withdrawals. I've allowed it. So some of the things, getting back to the show, some of the things that we may look at when we're feeling that way, again, you may think you're too old to change. Never too late for a do-over. If you look at a situation and you think, if I could do it a different way, I would do it. You're here. You're on this earth, so you can. You look at your obstacles, which is basically your problems and the hurdles. We're going to have, if we wake up on this side of the dirt, we're always going to have something, some kind of obstacle. You look at our circumstances, which is basically condition, your situations, your environment. Our fears, we just can't say enough about that. Basically, it's doubt. Doubt for what you really, really want. Can I really obtain it? And regrets, you start looking at shoulda, woulda, couldas, I guess. The past, your past mistakes, your past hurts, your past pain. I can't do it. And particularly, and probably more so than anything, family history. If no one else has seemed to overcome those, I guess I'll call them those family curses, as some people call them. If no one else has overcome, you know, for some children, if you tell them college is an avenue for them and no one else in their family has gone to college or completed college or even graduated high school, then if someone is not encouraging that person, that is available or ways to do that, then they could look at their family history. And this could cause, and it does, you guys, more than we know, it does cause children to, young people, I would say, to check out of daily life, to not focus on school, and not knowing that there are programs for children, students who is a first-generation college student. They can go to school for free. You just have to look into it. You just have to find that child who has the desire. And if they've checked out of life, help them check back in and say, here is an avenue for you. Here is an avenue. I'm 44 years old, and I just learned about the program for the young students who is, they call it first-generation college students, can go to school absolutely free. So, again, those are some of the things that may keep you checked out or may think that I can't check back in. Why? You know, I'm too old. My family didn't make it, haven't did anything. And if we take this a bit further, if you have any type of religious upbringing, I think the toggle in your spirit becomes greater, because now you're telling yourself spiritually one thing, basically based on God's word, but you're allowing life to tell you another. So that's what I mean when I say I think the toggle in our spirit, you know, if we are any type of religious or have any type of religious upbringing, then the toggle in your spirit, I think, becomes even more, because I think you do have or recognize your passions and your dreams that are unfulfilled and that will get you to a point where you want to check out of daily life. And in saying that, I want to look at a few. You know, we cannot, I know many of you, I've heard many people say we're going to, Tegan and I will always bring a word into it, but I don't think we know another way. But let's look at a few scriptures. I'm going to read a few, but not many of them. For the most part, I'm going to give them out so that you can, on your own time, revisit it at your leisure these scriptures. So get your pen, I guess, and a piece of paper so that you can write them down, because there are some good ones and I think so applicable to reasons of not checking out of daily life. And if you have reasons to check back in, and as I was saying, if you have any type of religious upbringing, that toggle with your spirit becomes greater when you have checked out. Starting with Deuteronomy 28 and 13, and this is one that I am going to read. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. So even there, there's some knowledge there, of course. Now there has to be some action there. Command thee this day to observe and do them. Another one, and you're going to have to just write this one down, Psalms 31 and 24, Psalms 37 and 28, Isaiah 40 and 29, and then I want to read just briefly two more, Isaiah 30 and 23. I'm going to read this one because, in my opinion, this speaks volume on what we mentioned earlier about knowledge and action. It speaks volume on particularly one of our previous shows, Habits, What Are You Sowing? And again, this one is Isaiah 30 and 23. And if we have time, we'll go back over the ones for those of you who did not get them down or for those people who come in a little bit later in the show. Isaiah 30 and 23 reads, He will send you rain for the seed you sow in the ground, and the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful. In that day, your cattle will graze in broad meadows. And I want you to put focus on the seed you sow. Remember the show we did, Habits, What Are You Sowing? This says the seed you sow, there's some action required. That's what they're saying. That's what this verse is saying. And I know this is a bit off, maybe some of you think so, but I find it to be very, very relevant in what we're speaking tonight, speaking about. So, but think about this. If you purchase a sunflower seed or any kind of seed, but you never plant it, don't pull up in your driveway looking for sunflowers. I mean, to me, that's just crazy. So if you check out a daily life, don't look for life. You're settling for whatever comes your way. And think to go a bit further, I mean, when has anybody ever just shown up to the grocery store with a list and everything on that list just magically appeared in your basket because you showed up? So we have to sow habits. We have to sow seeds. We have to do that. And what does Isaiah 30 and 23 say? He will send the rain for the seed you sow. So what are you sowing? Going right back to habits, what are you sowing? Because sometimes you can pull up and there might be some weeds out there. So the rain will even water the weeds. Something to think about. Another one, and I'm going to read real brief, John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not but to steal, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And for tonight's topic, I really want to stay there for just a second and really look at this scripture. We've talked about, you know, Satan and what he comes for. To steal means to invade, to seize, to carry away another's property. In abundance, grace, peace, love, life, and salvation. So in hearing that, ask yourself, have you allowed the thief to invade, seize, and carry away your property, your life, your abundant life, your identity? And I say, whose child are you? When I think about that, I think about it as a little girl. I can remember people saying, that's Mr. Gator's granddaughter. That was my identification a lot of times. That's Mr. Gator's granddaughter. And it would be different for women, you know, vice versa. But if I was out and saw, an elderly man would say, oh, yeah, that's Mr. Gator's granddaughter. So they identified me by that. So whose child are we? Goes back to having any kind of religious upbringing. When we're settling and we're giving up on daily life, that toggle should be even again, as I said, even stronger and different for us. So if I, in this scenario, I'm Mr. Gator's granddaughter and somebody sees me out stealing, they're going to have a different identification of me. They're going to expect more of me. They would expect to see different from me. They don't expect me to see me stealing. And in this case, people don't expect God's children to give up on daily life. So when people see us, when they look at us, they should see our Creator from within. So ask yourself, have you allowed the thief to convince you that checking out of life is the answer? As I read and studied more on this topic, have you checked out of daily life? Life was really my, how can I say this? It was my foundation word, I guess. It was my target word. So I do want to focus just a little bit more on life and dig deeper into that. And as I mentioned in one of the scriptures, abundant living is, we talked about abundant living, and I want to be clear and say this, that abundant living is not a byproduct of circumstances. It's an inner spirit that we should be able to tap into regardless of our circumstances. We should be able to tap into that. It's an inner spirit that should promote conquerors and not quitters. Not quitters, because quitters are those ones who do check out of daily life. So it's more of a feeling from within than anything else. That feeling should internally manifest into an external spirit-filled, peaceful life. Filled with what? Compassion, acceptance, and love, and the ability to move forward. It should empower us with the ability to work toward our passions, to grow in every avenue, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, financially, all of that. It should allow us to grow. People should be able to look at us and see that peace in our inner spirit. That should, again, be promoted outwardly. I'm going to check the lines for those of you, good time to get your questions in. We're going to bring Tika in here in just a minute, but good time for you to get your phone listeners. And while you're deciding, I want to check the chat line here. Don't want to miss anybody. So for those of you who are on, if you feel like you've checked out or checked out now and checked out and have checked back in at some point, you know, tell us about your experience. Tell us what got you back on course. Tell us what you feel allowed you to get off course and check out. Because, again, it's basically giving up. And it's really not an option, people. It's not. I think basically it's exchanging God's promises and blessings for curses. It's allowing Satan to rob, steal, and kill. It's basically kind of like putting away your map, the map that provides you direction to your destination. Your destination is your destiny. And if you don't have a map or some kind of platform for where you're going or know where you want to end up, I've heard that saying, if you don't have a destination in mind, wherever you end up is okay. Don't complain. And you are sure to end up anywhere if you don't know where you're going. And this is not to say, don't take this as we're saying that you won't have those days. As I started out the show, we all have those days. We all do. But this is where that inner spirit for an abundant life that we know we have been provided, we've been given. This is where that inner spirit should take the forefront. And keep in mind, as it takes the forefront, it doesn't mean that you have all this stuff, all these things. It doesn't mean that. And so my question for you is, are you, as we go through this show, are you ready? If you've checked out, are you ready? Are you prepared? And even if you've not checked out, but you're just settling for whatever, you know, are you ready? Are you prepared? And most of all, are you committed to life, to just checking back into life? And I think, again, as I mentioned earlier, there's so much out in the world that gives us every avenue to want to check out of life, so much so that we don't have to create additional things in our lives that will help us get there quicker and faster. Because, again, society has a way of focusing on the negatives, as we said earlier, the lies. It seems we have to be in the midst of tragedy in order to unite, in order to focus on the promises and the abundant life. And I say that, you know, we're among so many things that Deacon and I just briefly had a chance to talk before the show and talked about just briefly about the Connecticut shooting. You know, we've had so much going on in our world here recently. The Connecticut shooting, then you had the stabbing, and I know this is in China. Many of you may not have heard of that. Stabbing in China, the recent killing, and I'm so shocked, but I just learned of this a few days ago, the shooting and killing of a 17-year-old young man by an adult in Florida who claimed he felt threatened by the young boy's loud music. Where are we? See, this is somebody who has to have checked out of daily life. For a grown person to shoot and kill a young person and feel like he had the right to do so because he was threatened by the sound of loud music. And I don't know the complete story, but I was also told that this man left the scene and came back. So, see, we check out, but we get agitated. We're discontent. We're weary, which will make us snap and do anything. We've had, you know, I guess the hospital shooting was where it was. And I think this was after the Connecticut, a recent mall shooting. Another 50-plus rounds of shots took place in a mall parking lot, I think it was. So there's so much to make us want to just say, we can't do this world. Just check out and let what be, whatever will be, will be. There's so many people that are angry. It goes right back to the killings that and all these things that are taken on. You know, I failed to mention right here locally, we had an officer to be killed, and I don't know if she was our first female killed in the line of duty, but she's a mother of four kids, killed by a young person. Killed, life gone. Many of us have checked out of life. How do you do that? How does the person that went in and shot baby after baby after baby do that? Because if you can do that and you're still checked in, something's wrong. Anger. Again, it seems everybody is angry or so easily angered. This typically, in my opinion, comes from unsettled, internalized disappointment, fears, pain, and you name it. And remember, we said winners always deal with the truth. When you're not dealing with the truth, from my own experience, anger, resentment sits in. And you can be, we've said this on the show previously as well, you can leave your house and someone can cut you off by mistake. They can say, I'm sorry. But before they get it out good, you are cursing them out. Not really because they pulled out in front of you, but you're still pissed off about your own life, about what just happened at home, and because you didn't deal with it in truth. That's been one of my major faults, is not really dealing with people where they are and where I am. Plan to change that for 2013. Selfishness. Here I think we just need to check our ego. And remember, there's enough of it, whatever it is for you. There is enough for us all. There is enough. Think about the scenarios we gave with the Burger King, McDonald's, churches, Popeyes. And they keep coming. And every time you pass by, the lines are forever long. I go to KFC and I have to literally wait 10 minutes every time I go in line. And then there's hungry for money and things. And I call this basically American greed. Just American greed. And remember, abundant life is not a byproduct of circumstances, but rather an inner spirit. So while we're searching for all this money and whatever the things that money can buy, look around us. The young man who just shot and killed all the kids and the adults as well, and his mom, apparently or appearingly, appearance-wise, he looked like he'd come from, you know, a wealthy family, you know, an okay family. Look at all of the entertainers who have money and things forever. But look where they are emotionally, internally. So money and things, if they did it, I think we'd be okay. I think we'd be okay. Emotionally depleted and overworked, I think that goes right back to, and again, these are things that just kind of help us get to be okay with checking out of daily life. Emotionally depleted and overworked goes right back to wanting money and things and not really dealing with the truth. People will work 2 and 3 jobs to have more house than they need. 2 or 3 jobs to have a BMW rather than a Ford Focus. And then you become overworked, emotionally depleted. Because then you don't even have time to check out of daily life. You don't have time to check in. You just have time to work and work and work and occasionally come to get in your car that you're working for constantly, go to your house that you very rarely see because you're working to keep it and keep it and keep it. I go back to my own personal situation. I have a very comfortable, small 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. But interesting, this is going to bring me right back in, right into my next one. But when I purchased it, I heard all from friends, from family, why did she buy such a small house? I bought what I could afford. I bought what I needed. I had one son, have one son. There's no need for me to go to buy a 3,200 square feet home that I got to work 5 jobs to pay for. Because it came to a point where I had to work 2 to get him through school and take care of the little one that I had. And again, these sayings came from family and so-called friends. That leads me to family concept. It's easy to check out because where is family today? It's basically not. There's no unity within family. We're in a world where the concept of family just almost doesn't exist. You can have a family member stare you in the face that does not have your best interest at hand. So it's about action, people. Knowledge and action. Truth. Dealing with truth. Because see, I don't care who it is, family or not, people can say that they love you. You can say that you love someone or that you have their best interest at hand or they have your best interest at hand. But if their actions don't align up with that, if they are making more withdrawals from your life than they are making deposits, and occasionally when, I won't say occasionally, most times when they are doing that, you will see that in their own personal life as well. When they are doing that, it's time to deal with the truth. It's time to deal with it. And as much as I hate to say it, but dealing with the truth means sometimes you just have to let those people go. Forgive. But as TDJ says, forgiving doesn't mean I trust you and I have to deal with you and I want to deal with you. And again, these are things that will make you want to check out of life. Family, if we really sit back and we look at, boy, if you think about it, if I can't trust and have my family support, then why on God's heaven and earth will I want to go out or will I trust people in the street? So those are the things, and you know, take the time to go back. We're kind of going to start, I'm going to brush this up a little bit because I don't want to delay Tika anymore, but go back and listen to the show over the break. We're not going to be on for the next few Mondays. Take the time to listen to some of our past shows when we're not on. I have one more, I think. Yeah, one more. Reality shows. And reality shows are coming, I think, left and right. I'm just kind of really getting sick of television and paying for cable. I'm really just kind of getting sick of it. To me, and this is my personal opinion, I hope I don't offend anyone if this is your thing, but to me, they just bring no value. For the most part, most of them don't bring any value to our daily living and our growth. And I personally think eventually they just send us in a spiral downward misery, I think, pit of misery. And I think some of them are just simply mess and drama. And it's not dealing with the truth. It's so far from reality. You know, some of you may be able to watch it and disconnect. Maybe you are able to disconnect from the non-reality of it, if that's a proper word. But I just don't see, you know, so many times we say, I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to focus on my passion, my purpose, and my dreams. But then you sit and spend countless hours watching trauma, mess, continuously. I remember, and I think I shared this on one of the shows, having a conversation, and I just remember being so, so bothered by this person's comment. And this was a young mom, and I shared this with her. So if she ever listens, she knows, because I've shared it with her as well. This was a young mom, a wife, beautiful, beautiful. But when we talked about her reading, purchasing and reading, I can't remember what these magazines are called, but it's kind of like, the magazine that kind of talks about it, all the stars. And I don't, why do you spend your money and your time on that? And she says, because it makes me feel better about my own life. This is a sad truth. It really is a sad truth. And we sit and let our young girls watch these things, our young boys. We sit and watch it. What are we getting from it? It's just allowing you to want to check out of daily life more. Because it's not reality. But they continue to bring more of them. You can rarely change the channel without there's another one. So I call this conforming to the patterns of this world. And I think until we, and this is one of those things you'll very rarely hear me say only, but I think it is only when we stop conforming to the patterns of this world will we not want to continue to check out more often. And when we start to focus on being transformed by the renewing of our mind, I think then and only, and I'm going to say that word again, then and only will we and change our way of thinking, that we will have continued moments to where we feel good about staying checked in. So we have to renew our mind, and that's why Tika and I come to you every Monday. That's why I spent the majority of my Saturday working on this show, the majority of my afternoon working on this show. We don't get paid to do this. But it's because we recognize our own faults, our own shortcomings, our own desires to check out of life. But thank God, checking out is not an option. It was, honestly, I'll tell you, it was. But it is not. It is no longer an option. If that means taking people off my account, if that means opening up a new account, so be it. Goodbye, so be it. I could go on, you know, but this is really about self-awareness. When you know who you are, when you know where you're going, when you get a desire and a plan and a commitment and a dedication and a map to getting there, none of this stuff matters. And when it does, you have a plan for that. You have someone to call and say, I can. You have someone to call. You have a plan right there. You know where to go. You know who to call. You know, Erica said on one of our shows, Erica Murray, CEO to the Power of You, you know, if I'm a friend that is going to tell you, I ain't got time for the crying, what you going to do about it? Now, if you want somebody to listen to you cry, you need to call somebody else. That's the kind of people we need in our life. Not someone that's going to help us check out. Because, see, some people have checked out, and they want you to check out, too. They want you to remain checked out. So, we have a caller. I'm going to take the caller, Tika, and then what I'm going to do is Tika's going to come on, and then I wanted to briefly share with you all our top three shows, I think it is, and encourage you all to go back and listen. Again, we're not going to air again until, I think we said January 7th, I think. So you have quite a bit of Mondays to listen to the shows. Take the time to go back and listen to our top shows, and I'm going to give you those before we get off the show tonight. I do want to take this call, and I have some really good quotes that will help you get through the rest of the year and the up-and-coming new year. I hope that you will find that they are helpful with helping you not check out. If you've checked out, not remain checked out. So I'm going to take this call, and we're going to bring Tika on, and then after Tika's done, we will give you just a little bit more. Okay? I'm going to identify you again. The area code is 208, and the last four is 8402. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi. Hi.
Yeah, you know who this is, right?
Yes, I do. You can give your name if you like. I almost gave your name, but you can do that if you like.
No, it doesn't matter. But, I was just listening and to your topic, checking out, and just thinking about, sometimes traumatic things happen in people's lives. And it's really, even as Christians and believers, because we say we're believers, it's a faith journey, and I think that's what hinders most of us, the faith journey, the following God blindly without knowing what's coming next, especially when you've been hit really hard with death or sickness. And it takes, you have to consciously override all the negatives. You have to consciously override your fear. You have to consciously say, regardless to what I see, I'm going to trust God. And that's not an easy thing to do. And people preach about it. They teach about it. But when you live it, it's certainly different, And it's easy, nothing's happening, to shout and dance. But when something truly hits you really hard and shakes you, it's hard. It's hard. And so I think that's what happens to a lot of people. Because then they start to feel like, God doesn't love me, or why did this happen to me? But things happen, and it's not because you're good or bad. It's just because life happens to us. And that's all I want to say.
Those obstacles, like I said, if we wake up on this side of the day, on the side of the earth, there's going to be always obstacles, and I think that's what I hear you saying. But I want to, I know you didn't give your name, but I want to just say to you, because you're someone that, as I hear you, you know what I think about, how I've known you for quite a while, and I think about your passion and your purpose, and I never forget, and you may have forgotten this, but years ago, you let me read just a little bit of a book that you had written, just a little bit,
uh-huh.
And I was in awe. I was amazed. So I say to you, don't check out. Write your book.
Oh, yeah. That's a hard thing, too, because I was talking to someone the other day, because my son writes, right, my youngest one, and he's written several books, and I said, he's able to write stuff and finish it, and I always, I start stuff, and I never finish it, but right now, I'm writing on my blog, and I'm taking parts of what I'm writing and putting it on my blog, because I really want to fight this battle, and not so much for my daughter, but for anybody else that comes along behind her, because, politicians, some of them are so crooked.
Hey, if you don't mind, would you, and I know Tika won't mind, but would you tell a little bit about, if you don't mind, and if you'd
yes.
rather not, but would you tell a little bit about what happened to your daughter and the blog that you have, and share the blog with people so that they too, and I ask for our listeners to get paper and pen out and really write this down, because this is something that we as parents, as aunts, as uncles, as siblings, we need to know about. So if you don't mind, would you share a little bit about that?
I will, but I don't have the blog information show in front of me. But in 2007, okay, my 13-year-old daughter, she had a stroke in October 2007, about the 5th of October 2007, October the 9th, they pronounced her brain dead. She lived through it. We were in Primary Children's Hospital in Salt Lake City for about 5 months. I brought her home against medical, you know, against the medical recommendations because they thought I should put her in a facility. But I knew if she was going to heal and she was going to get better, she would do it at home. And I actually, it was like bringing home a 13-year-old newborn because I had to reteach everything to her. But in the course of all this and going through all this trying to get her rehabilitated, I found out that the doctor, we had seen a neurologist on October 1st because she was having numbness in her limbs. I actually found out that he misdiagnosed her, but he not only misdiagnosed her, he gave her the wrong prescription med for that diagnosis, which is what caused her to have a massive stroke. And then on top of that, he changed her medical records. I only found all this out in probably about April of this year because the attorney for her case tried to undermine the case. And I don't know if they're all working together because this is in Idaho Falls, Idaho. And I'm an African-American in a primarily Mormon community. And what they did was the attorney lied on the expert witness we had out of California and told us that he had recanted his statement. But in actuality, he hadn't because after... To make a long story short, they tried to get us to dismiss. My ex-husband pulled out. I wouldn't because they tried to make me believe that I had filled out paperwork that I hadn't filled out. It was in somebody else's handwriting. And so I decided to fight it and still fighting it. We ended up dismissing the case. I actually ended up filing to represent the case myself, and I did it for a while. But these are crooks, and these are crooked attorneys who knows the justice system. So they know it better than I do and know how to manipulate it better than I do. And so when I've decided, I dismissed my daughter's case, but I've been blogging about it, and I'm writing a book about it. And I want the world to know because next year Congress, the GOP, have sponsored a proposal to change the laws that are already unfair to families who've been victimized by negligent doctors, who've had family die or permanently disabled. And so I'm trying to get the laws changed because they need to be changed. And the reality is a lot of states, their politicians are just crooked. They're not looking out for the people. They're looking out for the insurance companies because guess what? The insurance companies give them big campaign, donations when it's time to campaign and stuff. So naturally, they're not looking out for the citizens. And it's not only in Idaho, but this is everywhere. But anyway, that's to make the long story short. And so I'm blogging about it now as I write my book.
Okay. Well, I have the blog, and if you're okay, I'll give that out. Are you okay?
Yeah,
okay.
Please do.
Okay, and before I do, I just want to say the reason I wanted her to share this, because this is enough, this was enough to make her want to check out. But see, instead, she's taking this opportunity to turn around, whether it be to write that book, to start this blog, because I believe that for every situation that we decide to check out of because it's too much for us to handle, that someone else is trying to get through that very same thing. And if we would stand up and remain checked in and figure out what to do about it, just as the lady, as simple as did not want to see the same toilet seat, what can I do about this? I can create toilet tattoos. Look how small that is, and now look at how big this is. It doesn't matter. You can do something, but you have to stay checked in order to do it. But and I hope this is the right information. I got it right off of Facebook as you were talking, but it's unheard-voices.blogspot.com. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right.
Okay, so I'm going to say that again. unheard-voices.blogspot.com. And you guys, it's on my Facebook page, I know, as well, so you can find out more information about it there. You know, you guys, this could be our baby. This could be our babies for you all, for mothers, for fathers, for uncles. You know, go on and read about this. I mean, I knew this baby when she was little and just all over the place, thriving, just talking and whatever. But you know, it's sad that we've come to a point where you know, doctors will do this. If I was a doctor, I just right or wrong, I'd have to own up to what the mistakes and the errors I made. But it's like Brandon reminded me one time that people will do things collectively that they wouldn't do individually, and somehow they think it's okay, meaning that, you know, a president of a company will, you know, send work overseas and pay people $2 or $3 to work an hour, if that. But if he had to stand up and do it individually, you know, he may look at it as being a bit more wrong, but he look at it as, you know, I have to do this for the whole. Right is right, wrong is wrong. We are who we are. We are what we stand for. We are what we put up with.
Yeah.
And if we check out, that's just it. Go ahead.
And I am not, like, you know, an indictment towards the medical profession, because it's like you said about that president, people can only do what you allow them to do. If the laws were to differ, if, like in Idaho, it's just easy for doctors to do. I mean, just if you got one of those doctors with the God complex, he go to Idaho, he's going to have a good time, because it's easy to kill or maim somebody and not be held responsible because of how those laws, the statutes are written there. And they're actually written so that the citizen has no way to fight. And so I don't even, you know, and I tell people, I'm not mad at the medical profession. It's the politicians who create these statutes and these laws to where the citizens cannot fight back.
Right.
To do it, the 14th Amendment says equal protection. Then you put everybody on equal footing, so that if this person does something to me, I have recourse. I have a civil recourse, and I can fight back. But if you undermine me, and you pull the rug from under me, yet you're lifting them up higher so that I can't reach them, you know, because of the way the laws are written. And Idaho is just, I know Idaho because that's where I was, but there are other places in the United States probably the same way, you know.
Oh, yeah. And this is why we're doing a show like this tonight. You know, we can't just check out. We got to deal with things and deal with life. So, well, thank you. Tika, do you have anything for this caller?
Can you hear me okay?
You're breaking up just a little bit.
Okay. No, I didn't have any questions. Just kind of shocked to hear her story, but glad that she decided, like you said, to not check out and to stay checked in, because it what they don't expect is for people to push through the long haul and not give up. So that's when change comes in. Change comes in when you don't quit, no matter what you're faced with.
I agree, and we have to stay checked in. So thank you for I'm sure that was a difficult, I know it was difficult to deal with, but, you know, just stay checked in. And for our listeners, we encourage you to go and check out the blog. And again, that's un-herd-voices.blogspot.com. So thank you for your comment and your information.
Thank you. God bless.
I bet.
Thank you.
Okay, Tika, it's all yours. Let me check the chat. I don't think, wait a second. Nothing in the chat line. And if anybody wants to get any questions or comments in, I'll let Tika know when you do pop in that there's someone there.
Okay. I tried to go through and kind of narrow some of my notes because I had a long list of information, but I guess I want to start with a question, just asking, will your 2013 be lived by design or by default? Meaning, will you design it or will it design you based on you checking out? And I want to start with just saying that I did check out of daily life.
Tika, you're breaking up really bad again. Tika?
Can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, it's breaking. You're breaking up really bad, though. Maybe you have an earpiece on or something?
No, I'm speaking directly into the phone.
Okay.
I'm holding the phone up to my ear, so. Okay, I'll try to just speak a little bit more, and if it's too bad, I'll just stop. I detached myself from the world years ago. the news, the newspapers, etc., they all became invisible to me. While suffering with depression, the world's tragedy just made life in general appear to be worse. So I began looking at life in a perspective of what's the use? What's the use of living? What's the use of trying? What's the use of caring? Because nothing's going to get better anyway. And so to my, one of my doctors told me to detach from watching the news because it only increased my feelings of hopelessness. So I decided to do that. In doing that, I chose not to reattach myself once things began to get better in my life. So I enjoyed being oblivious to what was going on in the world, but this wound up taking me to the far extreme of checking out. So it's like I'm checking out, and I go far to the far extreme of completely checking out, but not checking back in meant that I'm oblivious to life, period. But I'm thankful now that it took me realizing that I must possess a healthy balance between tuning into the news and just tuning into my normal life. So you just being aware of what's going on in the world, but not being overwhelmed or consumed by doing this allowed me to recognize the needs of the world, and it also allowed me to realize that I can't be blind of the world and yet be effective in the world in the way that God wants to use me in the world. So I wind up realizing, and I want to share with you, that we're to pay attention to what disturbs you because it can either restore your life or it can destroy your life for the things that disturb you. Our inner conflict manifests on the outside of us, and our minds, beliefs, and wars that are living on the inside of us, we develop on the outside of us. Now, if I'm speaking of the first person, through what I say and through my responses to everything in my world, if my mind is filled with poison, so will my life steps be. All that I come into contact with, I'll seek to kill, I'll seek to destroy it. The words will destroy others' hopes and aspirations. My actions will destroy others' works and efforts. And the poison that's in my own personal mind, and anything that's life-giving, I'll seek to destroy simply because I will destroy it. So this caused me to think about the tragedy that just took place 3 days ago. And I won't go into full detail just because of the time frame of the show. But Adam,
teacher, go ahead, because we have plenty of listeners, so that we can go as long as they stay on.
Okay. I'm sorry. I seem to be having phone trouble, but okay, well, I'll keep going. Well, as I thought about this tragedy that took place 3 days ago, like I said, I'm a person that stays tuned out of the news. I don't look at the news. All of my kids know I don't look at the news or anything. But I've been gradually taking steps of checking back. So I don't know what could have been going through the mind of Adam Lanza. And like I said, this is an assassin who took 27 human lives, including his own. But I'm sure that what was going through his mind wasn't peace, it wasn't joy, and it wasn't love. I'm pretty sure that his life was void of all of these experiences. I can't say what drove him exactly to such a grave and careless act other than to think that in him no one cared. I can't begin to understand what was going through his mind when he pulled the trigger and shot his mother in the face with a long-barrel rifle. Other than complete hate and utter disrespect, I can't fathom where this form of hatred developed in him. I can't fathom where it came from. But by taking the lives of so many babies who just barely began to experience life, and by taking the lives of adults who weren't able to complete their lives, in this, so many families are grieving, including me. I don't even have a personal relationship with any of these victims, but this personally caused me to grieve. And just last week we had a show about grieving, you know, during the holidays, grieving for our losses and for something so tragic to come right here in the month of December. It brought to mind the show we just had last week, and it also, you know, caused me to step outside of where I am and put myself in the other person's shoes, the families who lost these babies, because the majority of these babies were 6 or 7 years old. But everybody's life is precious, but especially a baby's life who, you know, didn't even begin to live. So all I could think about was Adam, he just decided to completely check out. He permanently checked out of life, but he didn't check out without taking a whole group of innocent people with him. And I believe that it was his goal to leave a statement. I don't know what he was dealing with. They said that he had a mental disorder, a form of autism. They said that he was, you know, somewhat secluded in school. They said that he was kind of in the gothic community. They, you know, I do know that his mother checked him out of school, and she just decided to homeschool him. And I also know that he's a product of divorce, so I have no idea what all could have been going through his mind to be 20 years old and making a decision that I'm going to check out, but I won't check out without taking as many people as I can possibly take with me. That hurts me just even talking about it, and I'm going to keep on, but just even just talking about it, I'm developing just a lump in my throat because it's just such a horrific crime. But like I said, I believe his goal was to leave a statement. Like I said, I don't know what his statement was, but I'm sure that he was crying and he felt that no one heard him crying. I'm sure that in his mind he felt unrecognized or unloved. He felt that no one cared. So like I'm not justifying his behavior in no way, shape, or form, so please don't feel I'm justifying his behavior. But I am saying that we as a nation, we need to wake up and we need to check back in, because if there's someone who notices anything out of a healthy order, someone noticed something. But, you know, so many of us just, like I said, we can't help. Okay, Tammy just sent me a text. There's a button that keeps pressing on my phone. I'm trying to hold my phone far from my ear, but the button
is... Yeah, Tika, your sound is really not good. I'm getting texts. And we keep hearing a beeping noise. Tika?
Okay. I don't want to put on speakerphone because the internet reception won't be good either. So
let me pick up for here and just give you a minute to get it together, because you're going in and out. Tika?
Uh-huh, I'm here.
Okay. Let's give Tika just a few minutes, and I'm going to, well, it's not just this phone. I'm thinking I was going to move my phone, but it's actually people are not that are texting me are not here with me. I don't know what I'm thinking about. So we'll just keep going for a minute. Sorry about that, you guys. But let me pick up with and let us know how the sound is coming. Let me know if it's maybe it's just the show itself. So let me know for you guys who have texted me. Let me know if we're doing better for sound now, and then that way we'll be able to detect if it's just the studio we're having problems with or what it is. So let's pick up with, I think I was going to pick back up on the top three shows for 2012, and this is based on the number of listeners, and what we have here is the number one show dealing with difficult people. I find this topic interesting because difficult people are multiplying, and this could be because of dissatisfaction to life or trying to cope with checking out of life. Again, we said earlier that checking out can cause, you know, those same things that cause us to check out could make us miserable as we remain checked out, and that makes us become difficult people. But that was our number one show. I found that really, really interesting. The second most popular show was Why, What, and Who. For those of you who have been listening, you know, each Monday night, hopefully you remember that one. This is a show where we just sat and asked questions. Some of them came directly from you all. Some of them came from both Tika and I. And we just sat and we asked questions based on what, why, and who. And I like to think of this one as just probably our reality show. You know, what, why, and who I think will grab the attention of many people, because we're just like that. We want to know who did it, why did they do it, and what happened. So I call that our reality show. The third most popular show for the 2012 year is Blah, 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 Stop Grumbling and Complaining. I think many of you were, as I was, and I'm sure Tika was as well, I was just really surprised by the knowledge that even I was able to gain from this show. And it did encourage me, as we hope it did you as well, to pay close attention to what I complain about, all my blah, blah, blahs. It did help me kind of grab things or put things in perspective about the things that I complain about. So that was the third most popular show. I have a personal habit, I mean personal favorite, and that was Habits, What Are You Sowing? It didn't come in the ratings, but it wasn't one of our top three, but that was one of my favorite shows. And this show, I think, is just really relevant to this topic tonight. Remember the scriptures that we shared earlier, Isaiah 30 and 23, he will send you rain for the seed you sow. So that means we have to sow. And that show, my favorite, was Habits, What Are You Sowing? So remember that verse, Isaiah 30 and 23. I just want to say a little bit more about that. You know, remember, if you don't plant flowers in your yard, if you don't plant those seeds, and I'm just going to get real kind of country here, you ought not to keep looking for flowers as you pull up in your yard. You know, if you don't go out and plant sunflower seeds, don't look for them. And we sometimes often will get some weeds. You might even get a flower. But if it's not from a seed that you planted and you continue to be okay with living off of the seeds of others or not helping someone grow their seeds, you know, we often just get to a point where we want to plant something and see it grow, see it manifest. I'm going to just give a few quotes, and I'm going to turn it back over to Tika. Hopefully we will. Sometimes, I know last week you guys texted me and couldn't hear me, and I just kind of, Tika moved into a different location, and it seemed to go a lot better. So I don't know what happens with that, but maybe it's just the towers turning. But I'm getting texts that we're okay, so, and the beeps are no longer there, so maybe it was just something on your phone, Tika. Some of the quotes that I came across, and I'm going to share a few of those. Just grab your pen, and for those of you who don't write fast enough, go back and listen to the show, and you will be able to write those down. But if you are, this is starting with number one, if you are lucky enough to find a way of life you love, you have to find the courage to live it. That's a quote by John Irving. So that means, you know, the courage to live it means that we can't check out. A second one is choose your friends with caution, plan your future with purpose, and frame your life with faith. Faith, I mean, it all starts with faith. It all starts. You know, when we go down to pray, if we don't have faith, I mean, what's the use? We have to have that faith. A third quote is, sometimes we become so focused on the finish line that we fail to find joy in the journey. And this is a quote that's unknown. The writer of this quote is unknown. And I want to focus a little bit on that one. And this is kind of me talking. That quote again, sometimes we become so focused on the finish line that we fail to find joy in the journey. I say when we focus, I think it's okay to focus on the end results and know where you're going. That's kind of what we said here tonight. But when we focus on the finish line without action, I want to add that, without a plan, without action, we not only fail to find joy in the journey, but in most cases there is no journey to find joy in because you're totally existing. You have denied your being, your inner spirit. You denied that. So it's one thing to focus on the finish line with a plan, with action, but it's another thing to continue to ponder yourself or toggle is the word we used earlier, to allow your spirit to toggle, knowing that there is a good ending, that there is a wonderful ending to your story. You just don't have the action to go with that knowledge to put in place so that your option is not to check out of life. So that's just kind of me talking and giving some more example on that third quote. The fourth one is, we are not given a good life or a bad life. We're given a life. It's up to us to make it good or bad. And that's an unknown author as well, or writer. And again, that one is, we are not given a good life or a bad life. We're given a life. It's up to us to make it good or bad. This is some of my, these are some of my personal favorites, and I'm going to turn it back over to Tika and see how we're doing for sound. This one is by Nelson Mandela. He has some really good quotes out there, and this one says, "There is no passion to be found in selling for a life that is less than the one you are capable of living." There is no passion to be found in selling for a life that is less than the one that you are capable of living. And that is, again, by Nelson Mandela. A second favorite is, "Before you act, listen. Before you react, think. Before you spend, earn. Before you create, wait. Before you pray, forgive. Before you quit, try." And that last thing, "Before you quit, try." And that's an Ernest Hemingway. A last one, "You can't live a positive life with a negative mind." That goes back to what we were saying earlier about transforming, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't live a positive life in a negative mindset. So, Tika, let's try it again. The beat seems to have stopped, so let's see what happened.
Okay. So, like I said, I do apologize. And I normally, even though this is a new phone, I talk on a day and night, and
I don't know what you did, but that sounds 100% better. So I don't know if you moved to a different location.
I just pulled it completely away from my ear, and I'm just speaking in the receiving part of the phone.
That sounds 100% better.
Okay, great. Well, I don't know what part was missed earlier. Like I said, I do apologize. I normally don't have trouble with this phone beeping, but like I said, maybe it's just the power outside of our control, but I won't go back to repeat what I repeated earlier just because for a lack of time. But in the area where I left off with Adam Lanza's goal, I was saying that I didn't know what his goal was or the statement that he was trying to leave. And, of course, I'm in no way professing to be a mental specialist, but I'm sure that he was crying and he felt or believed that no one heard him. I feel as a nation, we should wake up and check back in. And I don't want to speak into existence anything that, you know, this mad behavior could unfold into in additional forms of chaos, but I strongly believe that those of us who are strong can encourage, impact, and love those who are weak and ready to quit, and those who are ready to check out of life. Quitting meaning checking out of life and taking others' lives along with that. Before I go on, I wanted to give the scripture of 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4, the English Standard Version, which says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Meaning, those of us who know that we are comforted, I believe we should take part in comforting others. And it's that love that we have that we feel, you know, that we can go on and take and carry and cover others with. And just a horrific tragedy. But I'm going to go into the second part of my notes. I'm kind of jumpy because I went through trying to just highlight what I wanted to talk about for time sake. But as I mentioned earlier, we see on the outside of us what's taking place on the inside of us. For example, if my inside world is filled with chaos, rejection, abuse, etc., no matter what I see in the world outside of me, I'll perceive it all as painful, sad, disturbing, and undesired. Even if I'm in Disney World, I won't be able to see any good in anything I see because my inside world is engulfed in turmoil, and vice versa. If my inside world is filled with love, acceptance, and joy, it doesn't matter what I see and witness in the world outside of me. I won't be able to see the better side of things, or I will be able to see things from a hopeful perspective. I'll be able to see things as temporarily in existence and aware that this situation has no permanence and this matter too shall pass. These two individuals, they may be witnessing the exact same ordeal, but the perspectives of each will differ greatly. One sees hope, the other sees hopeless. One experiences peace, the other is completely void of peace. Also, when a person's inner world is filled with peace, you see it in his behavior, his speech, and his lifestyle, and vice versa. When a person's inner world is filled with destruction, depression, and pain, his behavior, his speech, and his lifestyle reflects it. When the scripture, when the devil tempted Jesus, it even says, the question is, when does the devil tempt us most? Most, when I'm saying being tempted, the temptation to quit. When does he tempt us most? He tempts us at our weakest moment, at our weakest point in life. That's when he tempts us. And it's no different than when he tempted Jesus. But when he tempted Jesus, like I said, we brought in the scripture, it is written. It is written. That was in several shows back because we bring scripture in because that's what we fight him with. We fight him with the word of God. And I wanted to go into the section of our maps because our internal maps, as Tammy mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of the choices we make and a lot of the things that we do, they're all driven from a core. There's a core inside of us. There's an internal core inside of us. And we're all cut out and molded a certain way. But there are things that are outside of us that create that, that is a part of creating that, that molding, that form of molding. And so I wanted to tie this in with everything that Tammy was mentioning earlier. This is easily tied in with what she mentions because it's from the same premise, but it just kind of breaks it down in a different way. So hopefully you'll be able to connect this piece of the puzzle to what everything to the front end of the show and what was mentioned earlier in the show. So our inner maps are the guides that we move by, the guides that we walk by and talk by. So the question is, what forms our inner maps? Our inner maps begin at home. They progress in school, and our social environments seal the deal. So if these models were out of order or balanced, meaning our maps, if the maps are out of order, if these models weren't structurally sound, if these models possessed a valueless ethical system, if these models lack God and or any knowledge of him, this will be your inner map. Your inner map is your life instruction, and they're all contained here in this map. These are your judgments of right and wrong. It comes from this map. Your perceptions are molded by this map. Your knowledge and the lack of knowledge are molded by this map. And your truth is born through this map. I'd like to also ask you a question. I got this question from Stephen Covey's book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, along with other questions in this area. But the question is, this is just something simple that easy for everyone to break this down, this analogy down. If you were vacationing in Chicago and you needed a map of the city in order to enjoy the sights and attractions there, and you went to purchase a map of the city, but you learned that the only maps sold were maps of Detroit, would you be able to navigate through the city of Chicago and visit all of the attractions and all that the city had to offer? Of course not. That's simple, 1 + 1. You're not able to because it's the wrong map. It's the wrong map of the city. And so the second question, if I'm seeking to live a life filled with my divine purpose, a life of substance, a life filled with meaning, but I only seek to achieve this with the internal maps that I was taught, will I achieve living my true purpose? Who did I learn from? I learned from everything that my eyes saw, everything that my ears heard, everything that my heart felt, everything that caused the void in my life. This is what taught me, and this is what formed my inner maps. This is what formed your inner maps. Our inner map, this is our framework, our format, our system. This is the pattern, the standard, the guidelines, the criterion, the prototype that you exist and live by. This is your individual fingerprint. This is your individual paradigm. So your entire existence up until this point is designed by it. So if you're honest and ask yourself, in my family and in my friends and my surroundings, what do I witness? Do I experience? And what has taught me? Have I witnessed unity, order, success, peace, love, victory, and harmony? Or have I witnessed clamor, discord, strife, battles, instability, disharmony, and war amongst my family, my friends, and my surroundings. You may also be able to ask yourself or say to yourself that I wasn't able to choose the family that I was born into or the environment that I was raised in. So I'm simply the way I am, and there's nothing that I could do about it. That may be the way a lot of us feel, just kind of, well, I'm ready to check out because it's a lost cause. But that's not true, because that's one half that you weren't able to change. But at the stage we are now in our adult life, this is the second half, and we are capable of making a change in the second half. So now that you are an able-minded individual who's capable of assessing and adjusting your existence right now, what steps you choose makes all the difference in the rest of your life. Our life is conducted by comparisons. Every day we see what we have, then you see what we don't, what you don't have. Every day we witness where we are, where we live, where we work, and where we play. We also witness where others live, where others play, and where others work. But there's something that burns and drives and draws and grabs your soul on possessing something other than what you have. Is it all in our mind, or is there something there that was placed inside of our spirit to wake us up and remind us that our Creator has created us for something more, something better, something greater? Where you are and what you have is not all that you were designed to do and not all that you were designed to be. So how do we go about possessing our inner desires, that creates the difference between carnal flesh desires and your God-given calling? When your drive becomes intensified with me, my, and I, you will steal and kill to get your way, to get whatever you want, simply because you want it. And some of us come to the realization sooner than others that our way has simply failed us, and there's got to be another way. There's got to be a better way to quench this inner yearning. But then some of us go through decade after decade thinking and trying to get it right when we're functioning with the wrong internal maps. So we hit pit after pit. We face mountain after mountain. We experience failure after failure. We tread through defeat after defeat, only to come to the other side of realizing that we've been trying to crawl under, run through, and climb over, only to realize that we're right back at square one. We're right back at where we started. But after decades and decades and decades of trying to climb up somebody else's ladder of success, if we refuse to wake up and check back in and realize that we're climbing up the wrong ladder and we're climbing it only to get to where we don't want to be faster, and that place is weariness, helplessness, hopelessness, and purposelessness, it settles in and it causes us to quit living. We quit striving. We quit trying, we quit hoping, we quit believing, and we check out of life, and we just completely decide to quit. But I'm here to deliver this message to let you know that there's a seed of promise that was placed inside of you at the time of your creation. I was reminded just yesterday that so many of us believe that there is a God and that there is a heaven, but so many of us fail to believe that there is a real Satan or a real hell or a real battle for your soul. He works daily to win your soul, because if he can get you to refuse, deny, and reject the promise that is orchestrated and designed specifically just for you, and he can get you to turn your belief, he can get you to turn and believe all of the internal lies driven by your internal maps, he will win. You'll forever be lost, and you'll believe that you're just a product of failure, and you'll detach from all truth, and you'll quit in life. And on life, and he will win. And that's completely, like I said once again, that's completely checking out. This completely opposes your creation and your design. But how do we reject our Creator's promise yet believe the lies of our adversary? I am, you are, we all are capable of assessing and comparing this truth. So what steps to corrective and effective living do we have to take in order to realize our purpose? To give an example of myself, for me, I had to stop and I had to personally check to see what I know to be out of order, what I knew and what I recognized to be out of order. Then I had to ask for wisdom to recognize what my internal maps were saying to me. I realized that I'm incapable of selecting the right course designed specifically for me. I know this because I've consistently taken the wrong roads that appeared right or that were suggested to me, that were offered to me, the roads that were enticed me, roads that lured me in. And these were all my internal maps that led me down the wrong roads. So I'd be a fool to continually trust in these maps, my personal internal maps. I had to realize that I needed new maps, that I need right now today. I need new maps. I need correct maps. I need maps filled with the truth. But in order for me to receive a new direction, I must first be connected to a guide. Whatever I'm connected to guides me. Whatever I'm focused on guides me. Whatever keeps my mind entertained guides me. And whatever I refuse to flee from guides me. My guide is the source. There's a source that guides me. There's a source that guides every last one of us. Whether you want to believe this or not, every last one of us that are here existing on earth today, there's a source that guides us. If you stop and ask yourself, if you had to understand the things that were too great for your mind to comprehend, working from a mind with internal maps that are educated by your past, molded by your afflictions, recreated by your pains, distorted by your beliefs, is this what you trust? Do you trust these internal maps? What I've had to do, give an example of myself as well, is I've had to take the roads less traveled. Many people don't really choose or like to take the road less traveled because everyone else isn't taking it. Many people think that this road will take them opposite of their heart's desire. Many people think that this road is for the foolish who believe that man has written and claimed it is from our Creator. Many people believe that this road doesn't really exist. But I realize that many people are functioning with disordered, disillusioned, distorted, and disconnected paradigms and internal maps, just as I am. So listening to and completely trusting in their knowledge or lack of knowledge wasn't safe and is not safe for me or wise for me. And it's a choice that I need to make to be still, to pray, and wait for an inner guidance, that inner guidance being the correct direction. I have to know that this wouldn't be the voice of the environment that taught me or the lies that nurtured me or the mistakes that seeded me. I knew that this would be from the being that created me. And I don't believe that anyone knows what's best for me than the one who created me. I don't believe that anyone knows what's best for you other than the voice that created you. And so finishing off, I like to leave with several scriptures, and these are just my favorite scriptures that continually feed me and that continually cause and allow me to be still and listen to the voice from within. And my number one and my favorite one is Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. This is one of the scriptures that we use on the show so very much. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Hosea 4:6, my people perish from a lack of knowledge. What you don't know can kill you. What you don't know can hurt you. And what you don't know simply we cannot look at it as, well, it won't bother me, because yes, it will. My people perish from a lack of knowledge, and so what you don't know can destroy you. Philippians 4:8, this is one of my favorites, because this scripture right here tells me that if I think on these things, worry has no room to set in, anxiety has no room to set in, sickness has no room to set in, mental sickness has no room to set in. In Philippians 4:8-9, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. So most of all, in everything that I'm trying to do, the one thing that I'm reaching for is peace. That's the one thing that most of us we're reaching for is peace. But with so much turmoil going on in our lives or that we introduce to our lives or that we accept in our lives, we don't walk in a place of peace because we've chosen to let so many things opposite of peace come into our lives. But I've just had to stop and quote that scripture. That's the only scripture that brings me completely back to peace because he's given me simplistic instructions on this is what I want you to think about. And if you think on these things, just these things listed right here, if you think about this, there's no room for anything else to get in. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then the scripture that I read earlier, 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, it's just stated that for those of us who are afflicted, we have learned to allow God to comfort us through our affliction in order to be able to comfort others in their affliction. I'm going to turn it back to Tammy because I do have a closing, but I'm sure that it's something that Tammy wants to share as well. And the closing is very short. And so, Tammy, I'll turn it back to you, and then I'll close, or we'll have two separate closings. But if there's anything you wanted to add to it, Tammy, go ahead and feel free.
In closing, for my part, I just want to reemphasize, and I know we're headed down for time. We have just about 13 minutes to go, but I just want to remind you all that, you know, many people want to perform at a show, you know, and life, you can look at life as being as such, but don't miss rehearsals. Don't check out and then show up, you know, and expecting to go on the stage. Don't show up and expect to be the main character in the play. Don't miss rehearsal. And living life daily is your rehearsal, is your map to your destination. You have to work. You have to plant that seed needed to gain your it. And you have to determine and know what your it is, what's your abundant life. Don't be the one to pull up in your yard, as I mentioned earlier, and look for that sunflower when you've not planted that sunflower seed. And oftentimes I feel that we do this. We not only expect to see the seed, we expect that rain to come down and water that dirt that we've not planted anything in. And that's what checking out of life, daily life, is. It's, again, as we said, it's giving up. Some of us take it a bit further. We don't just want the flower. We want the water to come down. But you have to realize that water also gives nourishment to weeds. As I mentioned earlier, weeds grow when they are watered. I'm gonna close up here with mine and turn it back over to Tika. 2013 is quickly approaching. You don't have to wait until the new year rolls in. You can start changing your life tonight. Start changing your life today by preparing to renew your mind. And why? Remember this. This is so important. While you are checking out of daily life, someone is in the hospital hoping for an opportunity to check back into life, hoping that they get a second chance at life. People are checking out and leaving daily. In closing, choose to live by choice, not by chance, to make changes, not excuses, to be motivated, not manipulated, to be useful, but not used, to excel, not compete. Choose self-esteem, not self-pity. Choose to listen to your inner voice, not the random opinions of others and of life. This is an unknown quote. I wish I knew and could tell you who wrote this, but I kind of changed the words, but that was a good one to me to end with. Choose life in 2013. Plant your own seeds, but commit to helping someone else plant their seeds, helping them to identify their seeds, whether it be sunflowers or whatever. Our next show is scheduled for Monday, January 7th, 2013. Take this time again to go back and listen to some of our past shows. take the time to stop and smell the roses. Don't look at checking out of daily life. It's meaning that you can't take breaks, you can't take vacations, you can't just take a day for yourself. That's not what we're saying here. Also, look into implementing new habits for the year of 2013. Continue to move your trash can. We told you about that earlier. And just remember to keep your 2012 merry and bright as you come to the end of this year. And we hope that 2013 is all that you sow. So think about what seeds you're going to sow for 2013. Prepare those seeds, and that is preparing your mind. Plant those seeds, plant those habits in your life, and be ready to commit to doing that very thing in the year of 2013. If you do and you continue to do so, it will be the best year ever. So for all of you, I will not come back on. I'm going to turn it over to Tika and let her close it out, but I hope that you all have a butterfly evolution night. I hope that the rest of your year is a positive year. I hope that you prepare your minds, prepare your hearts, prepare your lives to checking back in or to remain checked in for the year of 2013. Thank you all for listening. Tika.
Thank you, Tammy. As we close out this 2012 season of Butterfly Evolution, I pray that we be able to leave our listeners with seeds to grow your future. What I desire for my daughters, for my family, for the ones that I love, for everyone who comes into contact with my being, and for everyone who comes into contact with my voice and for myself, is to know and experience God and God's design by recognizing our design, and to know our truth and to deny all falsehoods disguised as lies. My prayer is also that your focus keeps you standing when you want to fall, moves you forward when you're ready to quit, and most of all, I pray that this episode will reignite the flame that will light up the course that you were chosen to follow. Be not conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. God's blessings to all of our supporters and listening. 2013 is right around the corner, so let's all make productive efforts to move forward by letting go of the past and pressing toward to what has already been designed with your name on it. Stay positive, stay focused, stay strong, and embrace your transformation. Good night and farewell, 2012.